to order.
Have a roll call.
Roll call, Director Sheldon, Director Meeks,
Here.
Director Bilodeau,
Present.
Director Whitaker, Director Yeo,
Here.
Director Amezcua, Director Nguyen, Director Tran, Director Rowe, Director Green.
Yes.
You do have a quorum of four directors present.
But I'm in studio four right now.
What's that?
I think he's telling us in the meeting right now.
I'm not on the agenda.
Okay. He's just
Director O, we're having trouble hearing your audio.
As usual, I will shut the talk.
All right. Well, Director O, you're a little hard to hear. So when you speak, just make sure you're speaking up so we can hear you. Are there any items received too late to be agendized?
There are none.
Okay. And do we have any members of the public that wish to address the committee members? And let's note for the record the additional directors that have joined us. Additional roll call over there.
Do we have to? You don't. You can just, we can just note for the record.
Yeah, noted. Okay. Director Bill going to.
Yes.
Okay. All right, we have the consent calendar has one item on it. We have a motion for approving the minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Second motion.
All right.
Roll call, Director Meeks.
Yes.
Director Bilodeau.
Yes.
Director Whitaker?
Aye.
Director Yeo?
Yes.
Director Tran?
Yes.
Okay, that motion carries with 5 yes votes.
Okay, so, item number 2 on the agenda, the Corona Recreation request for tree trimming. Do we have a staff report on that?
Yes, I do. I have a brief staff report. The district has a lease with Corona Recreation at Warner Basin. The committee will recall and knows well. And in early 2020, there were some overhanging branches and trees, the big eucalyptus trees that are around the property. There were some large branches that had fallen. And so Mr. Elliott, who's the president of Corona Recreation, had requested that the district either trim the trees or he would take care of it, his business would take care of it, and the district apply a rent credit. That's what, at that time, that's what the board, the committee, and then the board undertook that action, approved $19,000. Again, in 2022, a similar situation, requesting tree trimming services. He is now asking again for tree trimming services. There was a large branch that fell out of one of the trees recently. He had it taken care of for $900, but there's a large area of ficus trees that are in front of the property that with big branches, that area is requiring that they be trimmed. He has gotten a quote from the tree service. It's a $27,000 quote.
Whoa.
And it is pretty sizable amount. A copy of the quote is included in. It's not just the ficus trees, it's ficus trees, sycamore trees, pines around the lake, 80 large eucalyptus trees, and then a number of scattered smaller trees throughout the lakes. So it's a pretty considerable amount of trees that require trimming. So consistent with what actions have been taken in the past, staff is recommending that the board take an action to authorize a rent credit not to exceed $27,900 as reimbursement for the emergency branch removal and additional tree trimming services retained by Corona Recreation. That concludes my report.
And staff believes that estimate is reasonable. From what we pay in the size.
Yes, okay. Yes.
That went from right. Sounding really expensive to being pretty
much. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a lot of trees.
80 large people of these trees.
All right. So do we have a motion on item 2?
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. Roll call vote.
Roll call. Director Meeks?
Yes.
Director Bilodeau?
Yes.
Director Whitaker?
Aye.
Director Yeo?
Yes.
Director Tran?
Aye.
Okay, that motion carries with 5 yes votes.
All right, now we have some informational items. Item number 3, pollution insurance for district property.
Yes, so I'm going to pull up a just a couple of maps here and share it. All right, I'm just going to leave it like this. The committee will recall that about 10 years ago, the district bought the La Palma Basin from Panattoni in Anaheim. La Palma Basin is this basin here. It's off of La Palma, the channel here. And it was part of what was formerly a big Boeing campus, about 100-acre Boeing campus. In the 70s and 80s, Boeing started moving out of it, 90s, and selling off portions of it. They sold a considerable number of properties to Panattoni, and in turn, the district negotiated about 10, 11 years ago with Panattoni to acquire the basin here. At the time, we were governed by the purchase agreement, as well as what we're calling this, the special land use restrictions. The special land use restrictions. And as part of the acquisition, as part of those documents, the district was required to indemnify both Panattoni and Boeing for both groundwater contamination as well as soil contamination on the property purchased by the district. I did include, and I wasn't planning to go through it, but I included some of the history of the property in the staff report, just for background. When the district purchased the property, we still had monitoring wells. There was no indication of any contaminants or pollution. We didn't anticipate any problems. Part of those documents also required the district to indemnify Panattoni and Boeing for groundwater contamination on an adjacent set of properties. I need to move this a little bit out of the way. So this is the district property here, this funny shaped property here. That's what was known as Lot 2. This is the property the district bought from Panattoni. We're required to indemnify both Panattoni and Boeing for soil and groundwater contamination here. Additionally, there's Lot 1, Lot 3, and this little Lot A, which are adjacent to it. And we are obligated to indemnify Panattoni and Boeing for groundwater contamination only, and any soil contamination that we might have caused construction there. But so at the time, we had Rattan and Tucker, environmental attorney, help us go out and get solicit quotes. We retained Marsh, who is a broker, who brought to us combined policy by Caitlin. And remember Caitlin always of Allied World National Insurance Company. Caitlin's providing $15 million pollution insurance, and Allied World is providing an additional $10 million excess for a total combined $25 million. It was a 10-year policy, which was the longest policy that was available at the time and may still only be a 10-year policy. And the premium for 10 years was $287,000, which was then part of the acquisition. That policy terminates at the end of January 2024. Staff's been working with an environmental attorney, Shannon Tucker, and retaining quotes from both Marsh and I think the other was Hub. We don't have any quotes back yet, so we don't know what pricing for the policies are going to be or the premiums are going to be. I expect to get that back probably within the next 30 days. We also don't know what riders might be on them. So until we get that, we don't really know what full coverage will be. But we're pursuing the groundwater or the pollution insurance at the advice of legal counsel because we are still obligated to indemnify Boeing at that time. I think I covered it all. That concludes my presentations. Happy to try to answer any questions on that.
Questions?
Well, I got a lot of questions on this. What's the amount of damage have Boeing and Tony claimed so far?
Well, there's been none so far. So far there's been no claims on the insurance. And okay. I mean, that's actually an issue is do we even need to renew? Because during the initial period, there's been no claims. Okay. But that doesn't mean there won't be in the future, but I think it does reduce the risk. You think than the initial period, if there was a problem, it would have been identified. But so far, there's been none.
Well, the presentation seems to be, you're talking about indemnification. Right. So there's already, to my understanding, there's already some sort of a legal action.
Well, that was part of the initial transaction. It was just as part of the initial deal, we agreed to indemnify them if there were issues in the future.
Okay. And we indemnify them for things that we cause or just indemnify them for any pollution on the property?
You'll have to answer that.
On the district's property, we indemnify for anything that may be there.
The piece that we bought, yes.
And on the other portion of the 23 acres, just groundwater contamination, anything that may be past, present, or future.
At that time, we were suing a lot of people from VOCs.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Boeing clearly had some stuff going on that could have contaminated some groundwater in there.
And pollution insurance was kind of a new thing for me back then. How often have we utilized this for other parcels?
That I don't know. I don't think we have.
I don't believe we have another pollution.
Okay. That was an El Toro. That was with RWD. So there was a, but that was part of the deal with the Navy as part of the final settlement of that site.
I was curious. I hadn't.
Okay, so now it goes back. Just to be very clear here, are you asking for renewal, or exactly what are you asking for?
Well, right now this is this is informational. Right
okay,
now,
there's no claim.
There's right no now. Claim.
But down the road, you see that we're going to be on the hook.
This is just an insurance policy.
No, I understand that. Yeah.
So it's lapse. It's a 10-year policy, or it does in January of 2024. And so the question, we're out right now soliciting proposals for an insurance policy to take the place of the one that's lapsing.
I guess within the past 10 years now, it's already passed, will be passing, I mean, by January of 24. Have we tested the soil and try to find out?
Well, we have monitoring wells. As Bruce said, we're monitoring everything that's coming off of the site. That we're using this as a recharge basin for GWRS water.
Okay.
So that's the purpose of purchasing the property.
I guess it's more of a technical question. So there is potential. Because it's a
in 10 years, we have not found any pollution coming out of this space.
And prior to our acquisition, we did do a phase one and phase two investigation of the property, a very thorough investigation, which was reported out to the board.
So the risk is low, but it's not zero. So that's why having insurance made sense.
It's a little like term life insurance, except you probably will die. This may never actually.
There's a new term for that type of insurance. It's
Mr. Chairman.
Be the Highlander.
Mr. Chairman, this is Dennis.
Yes.
I just wanted to, I'm sorry, Madam Chair. I just wanted to add a little flavor to this discussion. So I was here when we purchased that property. The reason why we ended up indemnifying them on those hatched properties that we don't currently own is because we had an option agreement to buy them. I don't know if Bruce said that or not.
I didn't say that. Yeah.
Okay. Right. Yeah. So we had the option to buy those other parcels, which actually I wanted to do, but I was not successful in getting the votes at the time. But that was the nexus as to why we had indemnified them on this whole parcel, even the ones we don't own. Just so you understand, there was some actual logic to all this. And it was just, I wasn't really excited about indemnifying Boeing or Panettone, but it was just sort of the cost of doing business at the time if we wanted to get control of the property, because there was other potential suitors out there that could have bought the property. And also, we were facing tremendous opposition from Todd Amet at the Anaheim Chamber of Commerce at the time, but he's no longer a factor in any of this. Ha ha. So the chamber at the time came down and testified that this particular parcel was the key to Anaheim's economic fortunes, and that if we made it into a water basin, the economy would collapse in Anaheim. That these are the kind of things that they were saying, because they didn't want us to get control of it, because in theory it takes it off the tax rolls and such. But ironically, much of the rest of the parcel has been bought by churches and things, and so they were taken off the tax rolls anyway. So and the economy did not collapse. So I think that Mr. Amet was incorrect in his assertions. And that's all I have.
I was at first trying to recall what we paid for this, and it was nearly $2 million an acre. Right?
That's, yes.
What would that cost us today?
Oh, I don't know. I can ask.
We have a ballpark.
No, I don't have a ballpark. Don't have a ballpark on that.
Okay, so information. If anybody else have any other questions, we will, I assume, be asked to make a decision when we have more information on
correct
the renewal of an.
We have a proposal.
Well, we have some proposals. Okay. Yeah, I just didn't want to hit up the committee of the board cold on this one.
We're only 2 months off.
And we've been working on this. We've been working with brokers for probably about a month and a half, 2 months, a couple months on this.
And insurers are getting a little more skittish about California.
Right? Yeah. They are, but what the brokers did tell us that, and this is what they said, one of them said, that it's likely that the premium may be a lot less expensive than it was 10 years ago. Does it ever work out that way? I don't know. Yeah.
Well, we went for 10 years with no hits.
Exactly, so, the risk lower. Seems like right. It would be lower. All right, well, we'll move on to item 4, status update regarding the district's Imperial Highway property. Another one in Anaheim?
Yes, the one in Anaheim. Yes, I just wanted to update the committee. We've been working with Adam Streeter as well as the title company. There was, as I reported last time, there were some issues and some errors that we discovered with the title report and the legal description. So now we've got some of those clarified and back to Adam Streeter, our engineering firm. They did come up with one little minor thing that I've gone back and questioning. That property and the lines and the legal descriptions and the deeds behind them, some of them are very ancient and illegible and difficult. But we have enough to move ahead. The next step is to meet. We're going to meet. Actually, we have a meeting set up next week with City of Anaheim staff. Brittany Amami and David Kennedy, I believe, and some other staff to talk about conceptual access issues. I'm also contacted our contact person at Caltrans to talk about access issues, conceptual access issues. I don't have anything yet firm there. We did confirm that the committee will recall there's a driveway from Imperial Highway onto the property. It's a bike trail. Orange County Flood Control owns that, and that triangular piece of property that incorporates that driveway. So the district doesn't own it, but we have access to it for maintenance vehicles. So that's, we did get a confirmation on that. But anyway, we'll be meeting with at least City of Anaheim. It's on the schedule. trying to set up a meeting with Caltrans, and we may need to meet with Orange County Flight as well. So those are the next steps. That concludes my presentation on the Imperial Highway property. And the brokers are telling us there's a lot of interest, but until we figure out what to do about that access, they have the answer. And Rudy Amami, Director of Public Works, City of Anaheim, has reemphasized the city's interested in leasing it for police training. That concludes my report.
All right, do we have any questions, directors? All right, I'll move to item number five, status update on planning remediation of former Prado shooting area.
For this status update, I'm going to turn it over to Kevin O'Toole, who's been working diligently on this project for quite a while now.
Appreciate that, Bruce. Thank you. Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the board. As you recall, we've been working on this project for some time, as Bruce alluded to. This one is not in Anaheim. That's a good one. This is a remediation that the district is working on for two former shooting areas in Prado Basin. We've been working with BTSC in a voluntary agreement to get this cleaned up. It's been ongoing for quite some time. There have been some hiccups along the way that we have resolved successfully with BTSC. And as part of those meetings we had with BTSC and resolving this issue, they made some regulations very clear to OCWD about how the remediation was supposed to occur. And one of those pieces is we envisioned hauling contaminated material across the basin, across land that OCWD owns, in addition to land that's owned by U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. They made it very clear to us that during the haul portion of this, any land that is not owned by OCWD, we're required to have exclusivity of that property during the hauling period. So we have restarted work with AECOM, our consultant, on this, and we are primarily focused right now on determining how we can obtain that exclusivity component to be able to comply with DTSC's expectations and rules for this portion. We have met with Army Corps of Engineers, and we have gotten a verbal. They are supportive of this effort, and we are going to be able to have exclusivity. In tandem with that, we are also reviewing the haul route, fine-tuning that to determine all of the points where we will have different operational challenges, habitat issues, as we haul all of this material between the two locations. So we're looking for turnaround locations, logistical challenges, habitats, impacts, and then also, probably most importantly, we're fine-tuning how the river crossing will work. We need to cross the Santa River to do that. So we're fine-tuning the schedule right now with AECOM. We're getting all of this information built into the conceptual plan that will be shared with DTSC. DTSC has also indicated that we agree. It'll be very helpful for us to have many contact points with them and concurrences along the way before, while the RAP and the CEQA and the environmental documentation is being done. So we are going to be doing that shortly. We're fine-tuning the schedule. We'll be bringing updates to the board next month. Have you answered any questions?
What does exclusivity mean? How are they defining that?
So the way DTSC has explained to us so far, how we understand this is there's dirt roads within Prado Basin. And Prado Basin is not open to the public. So while we are on those roads, there would be no other contractors and no other U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, employees, putting of that nature on those roads. It would be exclusively used by OCWD and its contractors for the hauling purposes.
So during the work.
During the work.
Just while
just
we're doing
it. That's what I'm.
Yes.
So more or less means dedicated, pretty much.
Well, but only
temporary.
Temporary, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going on this day. Nobody else should be on those roads.
The idea being we have a spill. You know, nobody is there to potentially be exposed. That's the concept.
What's the long-term timing of this? They're trying to get this hauling done next summer when the river's dry. You shouldn't do it in the winter.
Yes. So we are still fine-tuning the schedule, but in trying to work that out, it looks like we're targeting late summer, early fall 2025.
Okay.
There's a very narrow window between when we have these spills of area and habitat impacts and when we start the flood season and actually also emission impacts potentially for that content. So we have a narrow window that we're trying to target, and that's what it's looking like right now.
Okay.
In the winter, we could use a barge.
There we go. That wouldn't have any risk. All right. Does anybody else have any questions on that one?
Nope.
All right. Item number six, quarterly report on leases and permits, licenses for the period ending September 30th.
So I would normally have Daniel Park, but he's on vacation this week. So I'll just do it really briefly. The quarterly rent for the third quarter was down 12%, and the annual year-to-date rent was down almost 5%. Primarily, the rent was lower because of early recordation of the July 2023 rent from North America Recycling, which is in the second quarter, which is almost $77,000. I do want to report that we did not receive August and September rent from Sandwood Enterprises, so they're delinquent again. We've had trouble in the past. They've been really good, so that we're missing that rent. And then some of these rent decreases were offset by increases. Anaheim Adventure Park had $15,805 in additional rent payments, as well as Corona Recreation had $10,052. And then there was an early recordation of the Rahab Shooting Range lease. And that concludes my report on the rents, status of rents and leases.
Okay. Who's going to make a record of the correction on the agenda because it says September 30th, 2022, and it's 2023?
Uh-oh.
Just notice that.
Thank you. Sorry.
Oh, no problem. All right. So, directions, any items to be agendized for consideration at the November 15th board meeting? Then these are ready to go to the board, right?
Item number two.
Oh. Yeah, number two.
Okay. All right, that will move forward to the board then. I have no comments or reports. General manager, comments, reports?
Nothing to report.
I have a quick question. Is Director Rowe joining us from the South Pacific?
Maybe that's why
we
couldn't hear
somewhere in either the South Pacific or the Pacific.
Let me kid you out there right now.
See, you sound like you're under the Pacific.
Okay. Looks like we have one Shelly here.
Yes.
Not sure.
Please.
Now we should close it over.
Yeah. Success to close session.
Yeah. So we have one with Compass Real Property Negotiators pursuant to Government Code Section 549-568 to discuss the parcels referenced on the agenda with the negotiator, General Manager Mike Martis, negotiating party in Anaheim, and the under negotiation price and terms. So we are now, we have everybody removed who needed to be removed.
Okay, we're back in.
Is there anyone in the waiting room?
Back in public session, anything to report out?
We've returned from closed session, discussed real property negotiations, and there are no reportable items.
All right, then we will close the property management meeting. Adjourned.